On Southside Broadcasting, it's Jill Appleton in association with Macmillan College with the Young Person's Book of the Month.
American novelist Wally Lamb is the author of several best-selling books that have been famed for their influential content. She's Come Undone was Lamb's breakthrough novel when it was first published in 1992, and it became widely read after being chosen as an Oprah's Book Club selection in 1996. Not long thereafter, it became a best-selling novel and was translated into 18 different languages worldwide.
By dawn, we had ridden out of Pennsylvania.
So what are you going all the way up to Cape Cod for, anyways, lady?
His voice came out of nowhere and made me jump. I didn't know why exactly, but caught myself looking at the scratch on my wrists. It's personal, I said. I'm meeting friends.
What about on Cape Cod we're going anyway?
What do you mean? He reached over and turned off the radio.
How far up?
Oh, near the ocean. His laugh was insulting.
Lady, the whole place is near the ocean. Cape Cod is, you know, towns. Ain't you ever been up there?
Of course I've been there. Sheesh.
Well, where are all your friends at?
We haven't decided where we're going to stay yet.
Well, how are you going to know where to meet them?
Look, I just forgot the name of the place. It'll come to me. Don't have kittens over it, okay? He smiled back at me in his rearview mirror.
Okay, lady.
He said.
Take your time. You got another 9 hours to think of it.
Mist silvered the highway pavement. Miles and miles of mirror. I didn't want to think. My friends told me you delivered a baby in this cab once, I said.
Yeah, that's right.
He laughed.
Don't remind me.
Pictures of saints decorated his visors. He'd stuck a magnetized plastic Mary to the dashboard and double-looped a set of rosary beads around the rearview mirror. His tethered crucifix walked back and forth with the cab's motion. It lulled me to look. So I suppose you believe in God, right? I said. He braked and looked back suspiciously.
Of course I believe in God,
he said.
Jeez, what do you think I am? Don't you?
Yeah, right. God and the Tooth Fairy and Jiminy Cricket. He frowned into the mirror and shook a scolding finger.
You shouldn't talk like that, lady. God takes care of you and me both.
In the silence, we both lit up cigarettes. He smoked Trues. Dottie had said his name, but I couldn't remember it. It was a pattern with me, really, I thought. Dottie's fish, Rita Spate's baby. I killed off whatever people loved. It was entirely possible I'd driven Ma to it, too. Better off dead than living with a monster daughter. Your good friend God really took care of my mother, I said. She got killed last summer. He looked at me in his rearview mirror. I looked away, out.
Well,
he said.
God has his reasons that you and me don't understand. But I'm sorry for you, though, for your suffering.
This coming-of-age novel follows the story of protagonist Dolores Price across a period of over 20 years. The story begins when 13-year-old Dolores is made to move to her grandmother's house in Rhode Island after the breakdown of her parents' marriage. She soon begins to realise, however, that she doesn't fit in with the adolescent social hierarchy around her, and as a result, she befriends her neighbour, Jack Spite. Soon after, something happens that will go on to haunt Dolores for most of her life. After her mother dies, she decides to go to college in Pennsylvania, but once again realises that she does not fit in. It is not long before Dolores attempts to end her life, which causes her to be institutionalised for several years. With the help of her therapist, she gradually works through her issues and goes on to get married. After her grandmother dies, the marriage breaks down and Dolores moves back into her grandmother's old house. When she joins a college course, Dolores meets a man who could finally make her happy.
You had to give Dr. Shore credit for enthusiasm. The next night at the pool in Building B, he almost killed himself on my behalf. He came for me in the ward just before lights out, like it was a date, and drove us to the other end of the grounds. I had to unlock and open all the gymnasium doors with Dr. Shore's keys, while he lugged a big reel-to-reel tape recorder and a jumble of extension cords. He told me his plan as we sat at the pool's edge. I was going to start over pretty much as a fetus, he said, and grow up all over again, this time getting my life right. It might take 6 months, it might take 6 years. The process would be unpredictable. The rhythm would be more or less up to me. As he spoke, I dipped my finger in the water and traced my initial on the pool apron. I kept doing it. By the time he was through, all the D's I'd made had become a puddle.
Any questions?
Dr. Shore asked. I stared at the shiny water in front of us, scared of whatever might emerge. Nope, I said.
All right then, let's go.
He hypnotized me first.
You are on an elevator, traveling down to the level of your subconscious,
he said.
I'll call out the floors, and when I get to the basement, you'll quietly slip off your clothes and get into the water.
We were somewhere around the fourth floor when I told him to hold it. Can't we just do this with my clothes on? I asked. At Gracewood, nakedness wasn't such a big deal. You were always seeing somebody's ugly body or vice versa. Still, parading my flab and broken capillaries in front of Dr. Shore wasn't the same as having DePolito or Mrs. Ropeek check me out. Dr. Shaw gave me one of his disappointed looks.
Do you not understand this, after all we've gone over? What are you, Dolores?
I'm a fetus.
And what's this?
His arm extended out to the pool. The womb.
And who am I?
I was too embarrassed to look him in the face. My mother, I said.
Right. Mother, womb, fetus. Do you trust me?
I looked out at the still water.
Do you trust me?
He repeated. I nodded.
And does a fetus have an aversion to her own body? Does a fetus have any expectations whatsoever?
I shook my head.
Our elevator has reached the basement floor, an environment of trust.
I eased bare-assed into the shallow end and waded out. The bathwater temperature matched Dr. Shore's tone of voice. When I was over my head, I closed my eyes and began floating.
This book tells a story that will take you on an emotional rollercoaster as you experience the ups and downs of Dolores' life alongside her. The author manages to successfully shock the reader at particularly unexpected times, and this makes for a very compelling read. An older female teenage audience would be more likely to read this book because of the mature content and sophisticated plotline.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential and nursing care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough, providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential, nursing and dementia service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 33 34. That's 01642 22 33 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
How can you have confidence in your first aider when all they have is a certificate to say that no one ever failed, when you have no information about their skills, and when, according to the Resuscitation Council, 70% of CPR done in the UK is delivered below standard and inadequate? In an emergency, survival and recovery depend on the help you get before paramedics arrive. Wouldn't you rather have first aiders at work who can really save lives? Life Aiders can. Go to lifeaidtraining.co.uk for details.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call
Lincoln
us home.
Inspired is more than just an arts festival. More than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
On Southside Broadcasting, it's Jill Appleton in association with Macmillan College with the Young Person's Book of the Month. Well, what can I say? Just press a few buttons here and it has actually happened. Jill Appleton has returned to Southside Broadcasting with not one, not two, but five fine folk from Macmillan College. Isn't that right, Jill?
It is, yes.
You've got Alicia and Liam, who, of course, were performing the excerpt from Wally Lamb's She's Come Undone. And in the studio now, of course, we've got the person who actually wrote the actual review. She's going to heard her a few moments. That, of course, is the fabulous Lauren. How are you, Lauren?
I'm fine, yeah.
And we've got two fellow English students from Macmillan who've also been involved with the whole thing. That's Amy and Joanna. Joanna, are you enjoying your first experience of Young Person's Book of the Month, a whole new adventure for Southside Broadcasting?
It's definitely interesting.
Interesting. Oh, okay. And Amy, what about yourself?
Yes, it's very interesting and exciting.
Interesting and exciting. Okay. Let's turn to you first, Amy. She's Come Undone, Wally Lamb. An extraordinary choice, I felt, and I'm obviously a chronologically gifted person as opposed to a young person, but in terms of that, I thought the choice was it. Why did you choose it? What was the idea behind the selection?
It was just a very interesting story that Miss Sefton decided that we should give a chance to read, and... Yeah, it was quite interesting.
Okay. It is there's a whole range of things that are actually there, but you produced a fine kind of summation of the whole system. We'll turn to Joanna. Joanna, what did you actually make of the book itself?
I didn't really like the main character a lot of the time. I thought it was very well written it had lots of themes and things you could look at and think, oh, that's clever, they've linked things together. But a lot of the time, I didn't like the main character, which made me not want to read on. If I don't like a main character, then the only thing that will make me want to read on is the plot line. And since the plot line was her life, it didn't really catch my interest that much.
Mm. Okay. So, of course, the main character is Dolores. I thought this was going to be a very cutesy novel about how she sees television people and big people and so on, but it moves along. I mean, one of the things that really interested me, and maybe, Laurie, you'd like to pick up on this, is the fact that it's written by a man. We're dealing very much with a woman's journey, from child through teenage, adolescent girl, suffering as she does horrendous aspects of life and a whole range of things, rape and other areas, and going through an abortion later on. But it's written by a man. What did you sense in terms of the writer's register?
If you didn't actually know it was written by a man, you would completely think it was written by a woman. The author himself, he just seems to get so inside her mind as a woman and tells her story as a female, and it's the really strong message in the novel.
I thought that sort of struck me. I mean, and as Wally Lamb himself actually says in the end points, that he's still a work in progress. Amy, from your own perspective, are you as negative as Joanna saying, I don't like Dolores, tough, it's going to be a bad book, go away?
No, it isn't a book I would originally pick up off the shelf, but I'm glad I have read it because it was really interesting. There was times when I didn't agree with Dolores' actions, but I really did feel for her when, she went through really traumatic times in her life story.
Well, I mean, she goes through being obese. Comfort eating is obviously there. She ends up... I mean, there's a lot of relevance and connotations that come through with the metaphor of the whale, both the sort of the size of Dolores, the growth from that, and obviously seeking the whale and the sort of redemption process at that point of view. Joanna, was there nothing redeeming about Dolores' character as you were reading through the narrative? Or just say, I'm sorry, I think you're dreadful. Going off to college and actually stealing your girlfriend's post or your roommate's post and actually sort of, doing all sorts of things with respect to the pictures. It's not good.
I felt more empathy for her than I felt sorry for her when things were going horrible. And I knew I could see that the way where she was coming from was like a really pretty dark place in her life. But essentially, I didn't really like her attitude towards the world. It was quite selfish at times. I felt empathy when she was like being raped or when she was feeling horrible and isolated. But a lot of the time, she was just very self-focused. She just didn't really look around herself a lot of the time. Or she looked around herself and saw things which weren't there.
Did you sense there was perhaps a moment of epiphany that came through when obviously she meets up again with her college tutor, who she discovers is gay, or at least she knew that at the start. And obviously what Lamb does is he brings in the crisis, which certainly you weren't even born when the whole sort of AIDS event actually worked, but the way in which that worked. Did you feel that kind of led to a redemption? And also, finally, without giving too many spoilers away, actually meeting somebody that she did manage to settle down with, and we were sort of left with a suggestion she is getting a life.
I did like her at the end of the book. I did like her a lot more than in the middle of the book. The middle of the book, I just really didn't like her at all. But at the end, her relationship with Thaler was a lot more healthy than her one with than many of her other relationships, both romantic and otherwise.
The section we actually heard was focusing very much on the psychoanalytic approach, therapy and such like material. What did you make of that, Laura? Did you think it was a useful way of actually working with the therapy? I mean, clearly one would have suggested that the whole Dolores needed help.
Yeah, like I said before, it is very interesting the way it's very psychoanalytical based, in that you really get involved in the inner workings of Dolores's mind, and it really helps for such a character that you can't identify with. It really helps communicate why you can't identify with her and the problems she experiences.
You said the author, Wally Lamb, manages to successfully shock the reader at particularly unexpected times. I've got one or two areas where I thought, it's interesting. You wouldn't expect that in Harry Potter. But anyway, what from your own perspective, was particularly shocking? Or was it disturbing? Was it rather than shocking? Or did you sort of think, well, it's just like an episode of EastEnders?
The disturbing things that happened to her when she's a child, it was just unexpected in the lead up to that. And it was certainly very shocking in the scenes where she got raped, for example.
Men don't really come out of this book very well, it has to be said. They either are lascivious tutors or academics who clearly go into all sorts of problematic sort of areas. They're absent fathers or people effectively sort of led by their loins. Amy, did you sort of come away with this with any sympathy for any male character? Or do you think they're all horrid people?
To be honest, I did feel sorry for some of the men. For example, Dr. Shaw, who's a psychiatrist.
No sympathy for Dante, then, obviously.
No. You did notice, as the novel progressed, that not all men are bad in the novel, in that there are generally some people there to help her, and sooner or later she does eventually realise that the world is not as bad as she thought it was.
All down to perceptions. The jingle obviously said Jill Appleton. Jill, it's good as ever to have you back in the studio. You must be very, very pleased with your new sort of Macmillan contacts, actually, develop this whole thing. When you suggested this as the book of the month, I think you did sort of put the little warning, the caveat. You said it's a bit unusual, I think you said.
It is a bit unusual. I thought that it had a lot of problems in it that some teenagers might be able to relate to. There's a lot of things in there that most people wouldn't be able to relate to. I thought that the author had thought of every possible thing that could go wrong in a woman's life and tried to fit them all in the book. And I thought it was just too much, the horrible things happening to her.
So mental breakdown, tick, obesity, abortion. Tick, abortion, tick.
Overweight problems.
Precisely, yeah. Do you think that's something to do with Wally Lamb attempting to actually sort of... I mean, it started as a short story, and we believe that he wanted to work through that, and it still technically could open the way for a sequel. But it also talks... I mean, he does address it from the sort of the odyssey of time. He takes us from mid-50s, late-50s America, right the way through. And it's interesting how he also refers to the presidents.
Yeah.
We go from, obviously, JFK and John F. Kennedy through Lyndon Johnson, through Nixon, and the sort of interaction that's having. I mean, is there in any way a sense in which this could be seen as a metaphor for America in the 21st century, or in the 20th century, actually, and the way America's also gone through trauma and scenario? It's gone from a God-fearing, religious-based land that works through that to something which is trying to find its identity. I mean, we do, again, I cite the example in the latter part of the book where we talk about the AIDS crisis and the fact people saying, no, you can't, you've got AIDS, you should be shot.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of social sort of issues that arise in the book.
Prejudice,
I mean,
I
was kind of, I'm on Joanna's side here. I didn't really warm to Dolores at all. And she felt sorry for herself far too much, and I was getting really cross with her. I know she'd had a rough time, but she wasn't a very pleasant kind of character.
Did you feel sorry for Dolores's mother, who obviously ends up in... I mean, I was worried, obviously, when we started to referring to the radio presenters in there, who I thought, whoa, where are we going with this one then, basically? But in terms of that, did you feel that what we were talking about here was what you could blame the mother or the grandmother, in fact, because we did have three generations here.
Yeah. I mean, her grandmother, she had certain views, religious views, that maybe were a bit overpowering for the rest of the family to cope with. And the poor mum, I did feel sorry for the mum, actually. She didn't have a very... The marriage wasn't too good, and she had mental health problems, and coping with Dolores must have tipped her over the edge.
Joanna, the flying leg, the iconography and the image of the flying leg that obviously Dolores' mother kind of, and in the end, she's just left with a fragment of this picture. Did you think that kind of symbolised, in a sense, the fact that, well, you know, it's the disconnection between body and mind that maybe Wally Lamb was going to, or did you not pick up on that as a possibility?
I also thought it was kind of her mother and her, like, because at the beginning, her mother's slightly... her mother's slightly downtrodden, but then she becomes slightly eccentric. And at the end, we've got...
What happened to the cockatoo or the parakeet? It was a cockatoo, wasn't it?
It was a parakeet.
Parakeet, thank you, yeah.
By the end, we don't mention very much in it, although her mother's left a small imprint, like a small fragment of the painting, in her life. Mm. It's not as great as some of the other influences on her and the things she's got left.
And the sense that, you know... Although we may not have sympathy for her, do we have sympathy for the fact that she sees that everything in life that she kind of falls for or sort of connects with leaves her, the sense of abandonment? Is that something which you think might have been motivating the character?
I do think she does have deep-seated abandonment issues. I mean, it starts with her father leaving, and then gradually increases from there. And I think it does mean that when she starts a relationship, she does think, oh, I'm going to end up alone. It doesn't matter what I do, how much I screw this relationship up. It's going to end anyway, so I may as well try as hard as I can, or not try as hard as I could.
We call this Young Person's Book of the Month. We'll go back to Lauren. I think it's fair to say you need to probably give a warning out that if you're under 16, it's probably not the best reading material for you, is it?
Not really, no. I'd say you would have to have a very developed reading age and be mature in yourself to have to be able to read this novel.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting. But it is the time where we need to actually ask, just as we do in the standard Book of the Month for this Young Person's Book of the Month special, for the scores on the doors. So Lauren, a marks out of 10, what would you give She's Come Undone by Wally
Lamb? I would give it a 7 out of 10.
7? Okay, Amy?
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
6, okay. And I dread to think, Joanna. Is it Joanna?
3.5.
She's meaner than me.
She's taking the Jill Appleton view here. Jill, what would you go for?
I was going to go for 7.
Sort of hovering around a 6.5 in terms of the whole routine. But there we are. That's the first in hopefully a new series of specials, at least a Young Person's Book of the Month. We've had a couple of sort of pilots before then, but the best things developed. And thanks certainly to Alicia and Liam for their contributions to reading the whole system. Joanna, Amy, Lauren and Jill, many thanks. And hopefully we'll see you all again sometime.
Thank you.
On Southside Broadcasting, it's Jill Appleton in association with Macmillan College with the Young Person's Book of the Month.